Lord, you are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise, and it is a pleasure to come praise you. Lord, may the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be praise. May it be pleasing to you. Lord, we just glorify your great name today. We draw near to you, not just with our lips, but with our hearts as well. We thank you for your goodness towards us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to see you here today. It's been an awesome time for our church. 21 days of prayer and fasting is always amazing. It's a time in which our people just really seek the Lord and draw near to him. And we've seen God do things in this church that just, he's just a stinking good. I just don't know what to do with him, you know. Just tell other people about him, right? Just between services, we had a testimony. Someone come up. Let me just go ahead and tell you this real quick. These cards up here, this is the last day they're going to be on the platform. If you had one of these prayer requests and it's been answered, take that card and put it on the wall there. It says, for these we have prayed. Okay, so we want you we need to give credit where credit is due. And the Lord is answering prayers. So much so that in the previous service, we had prayers answered during the service, and I'll tell you about that in a second. So today I'm going to be looking at a passage in 2 Kings chapter 13. You can find that in your Bibles, 2 Kings chapter 13. In sport, there's a factor for power and accuracy that is always on the minds of the pros, but it's almost never on the minds of the amateur. It's not always obvious. And so because it's not always obvious, an amateur really doesn't think about it, but the guys that are really good do. And it is the word follow through. Follow through is always important in just about every sport, whether it be throwing, whether it be hitting, whether it be shooting, or whether it be swinging. And I'm not a golfer, but I understand that's how it's supposed to work. I know preachers are supposed to be golfers. This one ain't, all right? But every one of these, I know, and then more, follow through is vital. I do want to point out today, if you are of a sensitive nature, let me just go ahead and put my disclaimer on the beginning of this sermon. It's going to be violent, okay? There's going to be violence talked about in this message. And some of it might be a little gruesome, but you'll get over it. So when it comes to follow through, one of the things, too, is, all right, let's talk a little bit about combat. If you are going to punch, you're not punching. This is not your target. This is your target. Does that make sense? Follow through. Because if this is your target, there's not much power in that. You're thinking, where are we going with today's sermon? Where we're going with today's sermon, I'm not talking about coming around and hitting them in the back of the head. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you follow through. There needs to be power in your punch. And so when we are where we're going today is I want us to be powerful in our prayers. How do we power up our prayers? Well, one of the ways you do that, we talked about the first one, is with fasting. Fasting is a way to power up your prayer because it helps you to become sensitive to the Lord and to hear from the Lord. If I hear a word from God, that's all I need. I don't care if all of humanity comes against that word. I got a word from God. I'm moving in that direction, and I'm moving in confidence and boldness. Then we talked about focus. Focus on who he is. Not what you want him to do. That is another way to power up your prayer life. And then finally, follow through. Follow through in your praying. Don't just loft up some puny little prayer and tag on to that puny little prayer the spiritual language of, if it be thy will. That is, that man, I don't know where that came from, but it ain't good praying. And so we need to remove that from our praying. But, you know, we actually add a little King James language and it just sounds spiritual. If it be thy will. You don't talk to anybody like that. You say, well, it's in the Bible. Jesus prayed that in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus submitted his will to God the Father when he was petitioning him to say, I don't want to go through this. But I am, because it's your will. That's where that comes in. But when we pray, what you really want to do is seek a word and speak a word. What you really want to do is get God's heart on it. And that's really where fasting comes in. It cleanses your spiritual ears. You can become sensitive to what he's speaking. And then when you start saying what he's saying, you'll start seeing what he's seeing. I mean, that was better when I said it than what y'all said. You should have responded with, amen. If I start speaking the very things that he's saying, start saying what he's saying, you'll start seeing what he's seeing. You'll see the things happen on earth that he's already doing in heaven. That's better. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Elisha had become sick. Now, remember the two great prophets, the quintessential prophet, the one who's the poster child of prophets, I guess you'd say, would be Elijah. And Elijah was the one who was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire, but his mantle fell off, and Elisha took the mantle and prayed for a double portion. And as best we can tell, Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. In scriptures, we see twice as many miracles. He was an amazing prophet, amazing man of God, and he is now sick, which is weird. This man has raised people from the dead. He has healed people. He's done all kinds of crazy, wild, and amazing things. Parted the Jordan River. You'd not think that was Moses. Elisha did it too. And we see him now sick. And I don't know what to do with that. I don't know. I just know when we pray, many of these are prayers we're praying for someone who's sick. And you know what? God's going to answer some of them. And some aren't going to get healed. And what do I do with that? I don't know, except to say he's God and he's always good and he's always right. And I'm just going to pray the way I've been called to in scriptures to pray, and that is not with puny little loft up something to see if it sticks, but to pray with confidence. Confidence. So Elisha had become sick with an illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, come down to him and wept over his face. Now, Israel has been split into two kingdoms after the death of King Solomon. We have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom did not have not one good king. The southern kingdom had a few. But the northern kingdom had zero. What does that tell you? This is not a good king. He's not a righteous man. He's not walking in the ways of the Lord. The scriptures will tell you that he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, the evil king that started this old mess. And so it's not like it's on his merit that this is being answered. But he comes and weeps over Elisha and wept over his face. Apparently, Elisha is on the bed. He's on the deathbed. And the king of Israel comes to him and is weeping over his face. And he is crying out prayers for his armies. He says, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hand on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Everybody got that? So, again, here's the thing. He says, I want you to take an arrow, and I want you to open the east window, and I want you to shoot that arrow. We're in the northern kingdom. This is an area called Samaria. Syria is to the east. He wants them to open the east window, and he shoots an arrow. This is called a prophetic act. A prophetic act. He said, I want you to act something out that is going to be manifested in the spiritual realm. I want you to do this. And so here's Elisha on his deathbed. The king says, okay, I'll do whatever you say. And he says, I want you to, you're going to strike the Syrians. And then verse 18, then he said, take the arrows. So he took them and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck the ground three times and stopped. And he probably felt like an idiot. Probably felt this, what am I? I'm the king of Israel and I'm going through all these silly little things. I'm shooting an arrow at it. What am I shooting at? I'm just shooting. And now what am I striking except the ground? And so he did it three times and stopped. Well, Elisha gets mad. Verse 19, and the man of God was angry with him, and he said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had, what's that word again? Destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. There are sometimes things that God tells us to do. We think, this is the most foolish. It's just silly feeling. Lord, people are going to look at me and think I'm a weirdo. Well, chances are they already do. So go ahead with it. We had during the previous service, the last service, one of our members is at the back, and he said, the Lord told me, and we've been praying for his mom. I've been praying every day. She was one of the cards on the platform. Been praying every day for her eyesight. He's sitting there during the service, and he said, the Lord told me three times to get that girl, he didn't even know who was sitting beside him, to get that girl to pray over his mom. And he said after the third time, he thought he better do it. And so he asked her, would you pray over my mom's eyesight? And he said, heaven opened up, and her eyes were healed in the previous service. Amen. Now, and I just think we limit God. He said, I feel foolish about asking this girl to pray for him. I don't know this girl. Come to find out, he did. He didn't know who was sitting there. And here's Elisha. And he said, why did you stop? Why did you stop? When it comes to powerful prayer lives, power and accuracy are in the follow-through. Power and accuracy are in the follow-through. When you're shooting, when you're hitting, when you're whatever you're doing, the power and the accuracy is in the follow-through. And so when we just loft up some kind of a little prayer and hope that maybe it'll stick, maybe God will do something with it, you know what? He cares about our cares. But pray with power and pray with persistence. Pray with power and pray with precision. And I think I'll just continue to hold these arrows just in case I see anyone nodding off. And I'm pretty good at throwing them. But in this passage of scripture, we see Elisha, he got mad because the guy got timid. May you never grow timid in your prayers. May you never grow timid in your prayers. There was a few years ago, we were in Israel. We were actually in the West Bank at a anti-terrorism firearm training facility called Caliber 3. And we were doing some cool stuff. And we took some Krav Maga classes, my family and I. And if you don't know what Krav Maga is, it's Israeli combat, hand-to-hand fighting. And it's probably the most violent one that there is. And one of the things about, we were being trained by this guy. I think he was like third in the world kickboxer. He was an Israeli special forces operator. He was a pretty cool dude. And he was teaching our family on some of these moves of Krav Maga. And one of the things was with your natural reaction to a threat is to step back. Somebody swings at you, you want to step back. But that's not the way this works with this violent combat. You don't step back, you step in. And so when they're coming at you and they swing, you step back. And he said, no, you come in with an elbow. And I told you I was going to get violent. So it gets better from here. So he's teaching Christy how to take somebody down. And if anybody wants to try that, you can do that after the service. And then he says, when they fall to their knees, you put your knee in his face over and over again until it goes soft. That just makes you sick of your stomach a little bit, doesn't it? Knee him in his face until it goes soft. And then go get something and come back and kill him with it. Wow, y'all are violent. Y'all are not playing games here. This is no sport. No, because in the West Bank, terrorists are constantly trying to kill the Israeli people. In fact, one of this man's students had a husband killed. After she went through his course, a terrorist came into their house and was stabbing her husband, ended up killing him. And while he was stabbing her, she runs the children to the back room and goes and gets a frying pan and kills the terrorist. Previous service clapped over that. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Why does it call for such violence? Because the enemy ain't playing games. The enemy ain't playing games. He plays for keeps. When it comes to fighting hell for the lives of people, and that's what many of these are, we're fighting hell for the lives of people, to be timid and shy and, oh, it just kind of looks weird. There's no place for that. Here's what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And he wasn't just talking about on the negative side. He also talked about on the positive side. If you want to have power in your prayers, you're going to have to get violent against the enemy. Do you want to, here's this passage, strike the ground. And he does it three times. And he said, are you just trying to delay the enemy or destroy the enemy? Amen. But you catch that? He said, Satan will act like he's down, but he's not out. And so I remember as a little boy, this started early in life. I remember Sundays was the day that my oldest brother, we'd go home and fight every Sunday. And it was play fighting. He was training me. And I remember sometimes I'd hit him, and he'd act like he was out. You know, he was down. And I'd quit hitting him. And because I quit hitting him, all of a sudden he would jump on top of me, and he'd take that knuckle right there and frog every muscle in my body. I mean, I was just like a limp noodle. And he took it upon himself to try and, I think because I was the run of the litter, I was always kind of small in my class. He wanted to train me. So he would say, don't stop just because somebody goes down. Don't stop just because somebody goes down. Now, if you've got children here and I'm teaching them how to fight, then let's just go with it, all right? Just go with it. But the enemy will act like he's out. But he's just playing possum. That's how we say it in the country. I don't know what y'all. I want to continue to look. Let's go Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be also with this wicked generation. Is that not a little bit scary? What is he saying? You better follow through. You better follow through. You better fill the house and follow through. You better fill the house with the Holy Spirit so the unholy ones that have no place to land, fill the house with the Holy Spirit and follow through. Just because the enemy, here's what Jesus, he went through the temptation. We preached on this the first Sunday of the fast. He went through the temptation. Satan was there tempting him the whole time. Jesus was fasting in order to meet Satan in his temptation. And at the end of it, it said Satan came back for a more opportune time. Don't you think he'll do that against you too? that you say, "Whoa, I prayed and man, God answered my prayer." If it was my mom whose eyes were healed, you know what? I'm going to not stop praying for her eyes. Amen, Frank? I'm going to continue. It's not enough to delay. I got to defeat. It's not enough to delay. We got to defeat. So if you had cancer, do you want the cancer to just stop? Or do you want it to be gone? Amen. We've seen that in this house. Without treatment, we've seen people get completely healed of cancer. Previous service, the first service we had, it just excites me every time I think about it. Brother Martin was told to go home and prepare for his death, that he only had about 3 months to live. Instead, he came to his church home and had his members pray over him. Zero treatment. I need you to hear that. Zero treatment. He goes back the next time, and I mean, he had cancer all over him. Lungs, brain, organs. He goes back the next time, zero cancer. Zero cancer. If it were my child, if it were my parents, and they had cancer, I wouldn't pray that the cancer would just go into remission. I would pray the cancer would be removed. Amen? Removed. By the way, we have Miss Lazarus in the back. Amen. Y'all see Miss Lazarus? We call her Lazarus because how many years ago was it? 3 years ago, right there during 21 days of prayer and fasting, she died. Literally died. And our church was praying over her. They did CPR on her, even in the hospital, 45 minutes? 50 minutes. By the way, y'all know they don't do that. And she woke up, zero heart damage, zero brain damage, wasn't even sore, zero broken ribs. Amen. So pray with confidence. Pray with confidence. And when you're praying for someone's salvation, if you ever pray for someone's salvation and you tag that stupid little disclaimer of "if it be thy will," I hope I'm there to slap you. Don't ever, 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 ever pray "if it be God's will to save somebody." Let me just tell you something. It is. It is. It is his will to save someone. Well, then why aren't they just instantly saved? Well, there's a lot of factors involved in that, but one of them may be because of puny prayers that we're lofting up and just see if it's going to happen. Why not we charge hell? Be violent against the enemy. I might get a little stirred up. I want to look at Matthew 7 and verse 7. You know this scripture, "Ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened." Let me just point out real quick and then I'm moving on. This ask, seek, and knock, you can't see it in the English, but in the Greek it's very clear. It is continuing action. Continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. Jesus tells us in a parable about a woman who is bringing a case before a judge, Luke chapter 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that the men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Everybody get that? Not lose heart. Saying there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." What is he saying? She has nagged me to death. And because of it, I'm going to do it. He said, Jesus is teaching us on persistence in prayer. Verse 6, then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" What's he saying? Continue crying out to the Lord. He's going to answer you. Now, I know that that we want instant prayers. Obviously, we all want instant prayers. We all prayer just answered just as soon as we loft them up. Sometimes it does that. It's awesome. Sometimes we have to continue praying, continue asking, seeking, knocking, continue to do so. Why? It may be that he's working things out in the soul before he actually touches the body. Maybe he's working something out in the one doing the praying. Maybe he's bringing things into alignment. We don't understand, but I promise you, God answers every prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is I have something better. Sometimes the answer is the timing isn't right. And his timing, although he's not in a hurry, he's always on time. Amen? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Going in backwards order here. Colossians 4, 2 says continue. Everybody say continue. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. When I've gotten a word from the Lord, I don't keep asking him. I start thanking him. That's powerful. You need to get that. I remember standing next to a gurney as this individual was about to go into surgery. And I had been seeking the Lord for a word on the way to the hospital. And he had been through surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. And they're having really some difficulties and it did not look good. And I said, Lord, just give me a word. Just give me a word to go off of. And so I get there and he'd give me a word right there. I mean, he wasn't in a hurry. I'd have liked to have one in the truck. But no, he gave me one by the gurney. And so I began praying over him as they were rolling. I mean, I'm standing at the door of the operating room. And I got a word from the Lord. And I said, Lord, thank you that this is the last surgery. Thank you that he's not going to have to go through this anymore. Thank you, God. You know, they went in there and did that surgery. And you know what happened? They couldn't find anything. We got a little discouraged over the fact that they couldn't find anything. It was an exploratory surgery. Where is this man leaking? Couldn't find anything. But you know what? He couldn't find anything because God already healed it. And it was his last surgery. It was his last surgery. And so, I mean, when I've gotten a word from the Lord, now I'm no longer asking. That's called petitioning the Lord. But now I'm thanking the Lord. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always. Everybody say always. Always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication, I just mentioned it, is when I don't have a word from God, but I'm asking him. I'm petitioning him. Would you supply this need? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Whole nother subject, another time. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. That's what we're talking about today. And supplication for all the saints. And then my favorite, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. On my desk there in my office, there's a 3x5 card sitting right there in front of my chair. And it says, it's going to be on the screen in New King James, but I'm going to tell you in New Living Translation. In New King James, it says, not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not lose heart. New Living Translation, I like how it says it. Don't get tired of doing what's good, because at the right time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. If you don't give up. If you don't just lob up some kind of little weak prayer to God and say, well, it must not have been his will. He didn't answer my prayer. I got to put these away because I'll just keep playing with them. And he said, well, I guess it wasn't his will. No, it might be his will to teach you perseverance. It might be his will to teach you to continue keeping on. It might be that prayer always changes things, and sometimes it changes the prayer. I'm going to finish with this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Jesus came. It's not going to be on the screen, I don't think, because I didn't have that in there. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested. You know what that means? It means Jesus has always been. And when time started, he was already here. When time ends, he will continue to be here. But he was manifested. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He didn't begin when he was born. He just became manifested. Manifested is now made visible and tangible. And so it says, here's his purpose. This is why he came to earth. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. I don't want to just delay the works of the devil. I don't want to just strike three times and say, well, that just kind of was weird. And I prayed three times and God didn't answer my prayer. Paul said that. Paul said, I prayed three times that he removed the thorn from my flesh. And he said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So maybe three is the limit. Apparently it's not. Apparently it's not. Apparently I need to persist in praying. Apparently I need to be consistently just charging the gates of hell with faith in my Savior. Because Jesus didn't come to delay the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. It's not enough to even defeat. It's not enough even to defeat. It must be destroyed. Strike the ground. One, two, three. What are you doing? What are you doing? There's a man on his deathbed, and so the next thing that happens to Elijah, he dies. Fighting with some wicked king of northern tribe of Israel. And he said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Well, how was I supposed to know? You didn't tell me. You just said strike the ground. Can you imagine? Why are you mad at me? What is God teaching you through that story? I hope he's teaching you that passive prayers are not powerful prayers, but passionate prayers are. Passionate. Be passionate. Be vigilant. Be violent in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that we won't be passive and puny as we come to you in prayer. For we are speaking to heaven on behalf of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, I pray that you would just so stir in our hearts that this ain't no game. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. And that we could just continue to be persistent and passionate in our prayers. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.